Hello, Foreign Entanglements viewers. My name is Dr. Rob Farley of the Patterson School of Diplomacy and International Commerce. Joining us for the second time on Foreign Entanglements is Kelsey Atherton. How are you doing, Kelsey?
I'm doing all right.
You want to remind everybody of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I write for Popular Science, primarily about national security and defense technology.
So today, what we're going to talk about is St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, as he is known in some parts of the world. We're going to talk about the potential tactical, operational, and strategic implications of various approaches to the war on Christmas. And we're going to talk about the rise of the drones and what that means for St. Nick and for our understanding of Christmas. So let me start this off by thinking about Santa Claus from the perspective of national security. So what we have is this man. He has shadowy connections with the Caucasus, shadowy connections with Turkey, Greece, other areas in Southwest Asia, in Eastern Europe. He is in almost constant contact with a very large percentage of America's most vulnerable citizens. He has apparently limitless surveillance capabilities. He has the capacity to deliver with precision any number of different sorts of materials to whoever wants them, and in fact can apparently make up lists and deliver specifically what's on those lists. I mean, I guess what I really always wonder about this and why I think that the war on Christmas is long overdue is this man sounds like a profound national security threat. I mean, has there been any consideration? Is there any concern on your part that this man may be connected with Mexican cartels, with a variety of different Middle Eastern terrorist organizations, with the Victor Bout arms trade network? I mean, that's really sort of the latter is the one that really has concerns me, that he could be delivering these stockpiles of Soviet weapons to customers all over the world. He doesn't operate in cash. In kind only, which makes these transactions essentially untraceable. I don't know. Why haven't national security professionals taken this seriously?
There's no good reason we haven't taken this seriously, especially given the great example we saw in the historical documents passed down to us from Narnia about the time when Santa went and deliberately armed child soldiers to overthrow the current regime. Like, that was Santa's role, was a rogue arms supplier with regime change in mind. He's like Qatar, but for children against everything.
And so you think that Santa could be using this whole, let's make a list here, to deliver weapons to various non-state actors around the world, especially child soldiers. I mean, this is a potential. This is something you think could be happening.
It would be... The peculiar nature of Santa's operation is that it would be very hard for him to arm anyone except child soldiers, but he could definitely arm every child, creating the largest army in history made entirely of child soldiers.
And to my understanding, Santa Claus, like, literally takes these lists from children, lists of what children, we have no idea how these lists are created, and he then, can deliver anything under the guise of these lists. Is there, to your knowledge, is there any custom control on Santa Claus's deliveries? Does it have to go through some sort of official border patrol or anything along those lines?
The thing about the black market is it never really does. All the customs and everything is designed to stop that, but there's no custom checks on chimney deliveries. And the way he gathers his information, the NSA is jealous. And we know far, far more. We knew far more pre-Snowden than we ever did about what Santa does.
Right, and I mean, let's also take this seriously, too. I mean, people have talked a lot about the national security damage that Snowden may have wrought on U.S. intelligence capabilities. Now, earlier today, we saw a report that the NSA had, in fact, been tracking children's letters to Santa, which seems to me to be an entirely legitimate use of NSA surveillance power. is this something we're going to lose because of Snowden? Is this another catastrophic intelligence failure that Snowden has wrought upon the United States?
Well, I think in this era where Snowden also left coal in Brazil's stock, or not Brazil's, in Boeing's stocking by denying them the Boeing, by denying them the Brazil deal for their FA-18s, I think we should just assume that much like Santa knows all and is responsible for this whole vast operation that takes place in one night, Snowden himself has poisoned the well of every single thing America does for 2013 and 2014 too. And there is no possible explanation other than Snowden for our failings.
I can't see why anyone would be opposed to the notion that the United States, that the National Security Agency should be able to look and find whether Glenn Greenwald filed Ruin America on his Christmas list to Santa, right? Because I certainly think that's possible, and I think that it's entirely possible that he then communicated this to Santa Claus in some fashion and then brought about this connection with Edward Snowden. If only the NSA could look into these sorts of communications, then we could start, but now all of that is ruined. What are our countermeasures right now for monitoring and fighting back against Santa Claus beyond? I mean, I know we have this NORAD thing where we track his sleigh going extremely fast, but what can we do to resist Santa Claus?
Well, the problem is that we already know he can pass through walls, and while chimneys are his preferred drop-off point, he's impervious to fire and doesn't strictly need them. So there's one approach for now and there's one approach for the future. The future approach is that he moves faster than anything we currently have, but we're developing laser weapons. Mm-hmm. We are actually legitimately developing laser weapons. So when those are up to speed, NORAD could probably shoot Santa down with them. Mm-hmm. But until that happens, the only real way to thwart Santa as he travels about through the night is to cut out his supply chain. And that means crushing the spirit of every child in America.
Well, that sounds like a tall order. Do you think that we can really undertake that?
You know, it's...
How would we go about doing that, do you think?
It's frustrating because we're in the point where children's indefatigable optimism and hope for the future is actually a grave security threat. Now, like, security lines in the TSA manage to sap it for most holiday travelers, so I think if we expand that, if we adopt the TSA security line method for every single thing a child does in their life, we might get there.
Here's my question, and I don't know if anybody's ever really brought this up. I mean, certainly we're all familiar with the most alarmist arguments about this, but do you think that Obamacare could be a first step to wrecking the spirit of America's children, which would then eliminate this threat that Santa poses to America?
Well, we obviously have to start with the death panels.
Right.
Because when they find out that when they get their regular checkups, really, that's just a long, deliberate process of figuring out when they will die. Mm-hmm. And then we combine the death panels with the threat of vaccines, because kids hate vaccines.
They hate shots, don't they? Yes,
they hate shots. Mm-hmm. They might like vaccines, but they really, really hate shots. And if we spread them out over a longer period of time, then children will just dread every moment and every interaction with an authority figure.
Right.
And then if we make all doctors have beards, they will no longer see beards as a sign of friendly jolliness. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that actually is in Obamacare, that doctors are mandated to have beards.
No, absolutely. It's a reverse of Peter the Great. Mm-hmm. It's trying to bring us back to older, older Russia. Mm-hmm. He's so far communist, he's old Slavic regime.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we're really going to have to... It's going to be 15, 20, 25 years before we truly see all of the merit and the joy that Obamacare is going to crush and what that's going to do for America and how that's going to make this a better place. So, I mean, you seem skeptical of the potential for intercepting Santa Claus with traditional aircraft. Now, I know the Canadians have made an effort with their CF-18s, which, you know, apparently are completely inadequate to the task. As I understand it, the Russians have made, you know, more than an acceptable try with their MiG-31s, which travel Mach 2.83, which is only something like 1/16th as fast as Santa's sleigh flies. If you had to go toe-to-toe with Santa in a dogfight, what kind of aircraft would you try? Would you fly?
Well, if I had to do it, I would really like to see... It's a tough choice right now. I think Lockheed announced the SR-72. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see the SR-72. I think it could do it. It's potentially armed. It would be firing... scramjet. It would fire like scramjet wave riding missiles. And I think those might be fast enough if they come from a point of Mach 6 to launch. Mm-hmm. But the other way to do it, I think, would be the RQ-180, which we already know exists, mm-hmm. which is better because Santa, while he travels at an insane speed, is limited on the physical constraints of deer and his own body.
Right.
And an RQ-180 doesn't have an onboard pilot. Mm-hmm. So can I think the drone could actually chase him down better.
Right, I mean, because if you think about it, Santa's certainly known for his speed, but in nothing moving that fast can really be that maneuverable, right? It's simply against the laws of physics, right? And so even something, you know, slower than Santa, you simply interpose it in front of Santa, especially because the RQ-180, if I recall correctly, has stealth characteristics. Is that right?
It does.
Right. And so, I mean, literally, it could be on top of him before he even saw it and thus cause a collision and destroy Santa's sleigh. So,
yeah.
Thinking of more kinetic and preemptive measures, did you read the recent article in Mother Jones about how we would undertake a war on Christmas? What were your thoughts about that article?
I don't think it went Edward Teller enough. Mm-hmm. I think it didn't realize that a war on Santa has to be a total war. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk about drones and special forces and encirclement and like how Russia has more relevant boats than we have boats. That's mm-hmm. that's decades of Iraq and Afghanistan talking. That's not the relevant experience we need. Truly, to understand how we're going to counter Santa, we have to look into the heart of the Cold War mm-hmm. because the war in the North Pole will be the coldest war of all.
It will be very cold indeed.
And I think we have to realize that what we have, that Santa has yet to signal he possesses. Santa has no second strike capability. We don't even know if he has first strike capability. We have a tremendous nuclear arsenal, and we could quarantine the entire Arctic, make it a nuclear wasteland. Mm-hmm. The article mentioned climate change is evaporating the poles and altering the shift there. Maybe Santa's had to move his base already. But we could make that all happen in an hour.
Interesting. And we're getting rid of, I mean, we want to downsize our nuclear weapons anyway, and the Russians also want to downsize their nuclear, well, maybe not the Russians, but...
They say they do.
Right. I mean, there's this happy coincidence of us wanting to get rid of our nuclear weapons and us needing to launch a preemptive war against Santa Claus. This seems to be fabulous. I foresee objections from environmentalists, right? Is there a more environmentally friendly way of destroying Santa Claus, do you think?
Well, the interesting one, and of course, the liberal Mother Jones ran with mm-hmm. it, was the Mother Jones foresees it coming, the overthrow of Santa coming at the head of a proletarian elf revolution. Mm-hmm. But following that, communists themselves don't really have a great environmental track record. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if in the long term the Arctic is really a salvageable, if there's any way to do that. We would really, in the words of Rumsfeld, mm-hmm. it would take just one, well, to paraphrase him, to take one very well-placed candy cane. We would need a man on the inside. Mm-hmm. Or a woman. We have no idea what Miss Claus's ambitions are. But we could easily find somewhere in the power structure a person more suitable to our needs.
Now, is there any truth, and I mean, I've seen some reports of this lately, is there any truth that there was recently a dramatic purge in the leadership of Santa's Politburo? I'm understand that one of his relations was literally dragged out of the winter celebration and then executed with a variety of poetic language. Have you heard anything about that?
I have, but it's tricky because there's that broken radio broadcasting from the Island of Misfits toys. And while they have very legitimate grievances there, it's very hard to see how clear any of this is. Mm-hmm. They've legitimately been hurt by Santa, but they are also a colony dedicated to his overthrow. Mm-hmm. That said,
and we don't want the Chalabi of the North Pole, right? We don't need a Chalabi for the North Pole.
We don't need a Chalabi. We don't need a Batista. We definitely don't need a Karzai. Mm-hmm. What we would really like is a way. What we need is a MacArthur and then the elves to follow afterwards. What we need is a good military governor for about a decade. Or we could even go for a De Gaulle. He could be independent. They just have to not be a threat. Mm-hmm. But we need someone to go overthrow. We need a De Gaulle for the Pétain that is Santa.
That's interesting. So we're not formally at war with Santa at this point, despite the national security threat he may pose. Can you think of any legal justification under which we could concoct a war? I really don't know. Is violation of airspace sufficient, do you think? Or is there any other way that we could get the UN on board on this? Or are the Chinese just going to veto everything?
We would have to make it. The way to get past a Chinese and Russian veto on this is that we would have to make it about our own territory. And we have Alaska. And if the Alaskan continental shelf extends to the North Pole, then really Santa's realm is the Kurdistan of the North, which several states may claim the same territory, but none of them have an interest in it being strong and independent. Mm-hmm. And we could probably actually get Russia to collaborate with that. They would treat it like the Chechnya of the North. Mm-hmm. And we would revisit some darker moments of our past, but we could probably make a claim that it is our territory and a hostile sovereign independent movement that we have the right for territorial integrity to crush.
Do you think Ottawa is going to be a friend or a foe on this particular point? I mean, Canada is mostly ice and snow in any case, right? So they are sort of equipped to be friendly with Santa Claus, but.
They are much, very much like the Kievan Rus, were friendly with the Mongols next door, right? Mm-hmm. They know where the powerful nomadic neighbor is. They've got to be on good terms with them so they don't get crushed. But I think when they see the tide shifting, they will swing fully in, because if they don't join with Russia and the United States in carving up the Arctic or in liberating the Arctic from the elves of the Arctic from Santa's cruel dominion, then they will find themselves sorely lacking. They will want a slice of the pie, and I think they will join with the winners when they see it happening.
Right. Now, you and I both contributed to a symposium on the Battle of Hoth, which was at Danger Room when Danger Room still existed. It seems to me obvious that there are important lessons to be learned here from the Imperial offensive against the rebel base on Hoth. Is there anything that really leaps out at you where we can sort of take this Imperial experience and say, this is what the Empire did right or wrong, and this is what we should know from our effort to storm Santa Claus's Castle of Doom?
Absolutely. I think the most important lesson, Hoth was by most measures an Imperial victory, but the rebel leadership escaped. Mm-hmm. It's basically like the Tora Bora of space.
Right.
And what we really need is a way to trap. We need a way to make sure that Santa doesn't escape, because the elves may be the base of his network, but he himself is really the power and the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And as long as he exists and there is joy in the child's heart, then it can restart somewhere. He could relocate to the Himalayas. He could try Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. We would need to stop him there. And I think the slow plodding ground assault favored by Imperial forces in Hoth was the wrong way to go, and would be the wrong way to go for the North Pole. We would need better air coverage, definitely better air coverage, better preliminary bombardment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I can certainly see that. I do wonder I wonder about Santa Claus's anti-air capabilities. I mean, I wonder whether sort of our traditional B-52s and B-1s and B-2s are going to be able to undertake that strike. I mean, do you think, is there the possibility? I mean, especially given Santa's ability to create this hypersonic vehicle that he has, do you think that he has sufficient ballistic missile defense to prevent this bombardment strike that you're suggesting? I mean, certainly if you can create one sleigh, why not just tie a reindeer to a kinetic device and have it strike our ballistic missiles as they enter the atmosphere above him?
Well, true. As he could very well try the reindeer-borne intercontinental ballistic device. He could very well do that, inspired as drawing from the lessons of the Taliban, and actually a device pioneered in my native New Mexico, the donkey-borne IED.
Mm-hmm.
But he could well do that. He could do that. But we know that there's a very severe limitation to how reindeers fly and how sleighs powered by reindeer fly. Mm-hmm. They are terrible at winter visibility.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They are profoundly terrible at winter visibility. And while there may have been a time where the sleigh was still the premier craft of the air, the United States especially has made great leaps in the ensuing decades of flight with instrument flying, mm-hmm. and with sensors that we can read. We do not need a red light to shine the way through storms. If we waited to launch our attack in a storm, however fast Santa goes, there would be no way to steer it. And the donkey carried anti-ballistic missiles would also fail.
This is interesting. I mean, I hadn't thought about it in that context, right? But this is perhaps sort of the key vulnerability in Santa's intelligence approach, right? That, I mean, he's simply sort of, and his human intelligence is obviously fantastic. And I obviously think that any attack we consider against Santa is going to have to be planned by people who have no children. I mean, that seems to be obvious. I mean, you want to be careful if they're going, you know, to a mall because they might run into one of Santa's operatives there, or they might be trying to communicate with Santa's operatives. And so, you know, the planning for this operation has to be tight. It has to be extremely careful. But I mean, you're at, you know, the ability of Santa Claus to really identify anything beyond visual range seems to be remarkably low. Although, you know, I wonder still if there aren't going to be political restrictions on our ability to use BVR targeting against Santa's assets. I worry about that. Is there a role for? I mean, how do we think about the problem of Saint Nicholas in context of the rise of the drone? Now, you write a lot about drones. You've written about Amazon's scheme for using drones, and you've thought a lot about drones. What do drones mean for Santa Claus, for Saint Nick?
Actually, they offer the potential for a peaceful counter to Santa's own delivery network.
Mm-hmm.
Is that rather than the competition of the 19th century over massive wars between states, we could compete with trade.
Mm-hmm.
We could undermine his economic efficiency. Amazon already runs pretty close to the best logistical rival to Santa's operation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could have flying helpers, drones, beaming drones, symbol of our mechanical technological future, deliver the very presents to the children's doorsteps, that itself is enough to redirect their capacity for wonder towards machines we control rather than bearded religious figures hiding in the wilderness that we don't.
Now, that's interesting, right? I mean, that would sort of, that might at least ameliorate the need to crush the spirits of America's youth.
Right. We just have to redirect it. You don't have to kill the old god. We just have to give them new ones.
Right, right. And so a future in which America's children worship mechanical drones. I mean, really, that actually seems right, quite positive to me. Or at least a significant potential. And now, you know, does there need to be, again, I hate to get back to the kinetic option, but does there need to be some consideration? Do we have, as far as you know? So, I mean, so let's say that in addition to pursuing this quasi-Amazon, it's not Santa Claus going to deliver your toys anymore. It's Happy Robot Drone Boy or, you know, something like a flying Roomba. In addition to that, could we also use drones to undertake this more kinetic option, but with less than sort of delivery of nuclear weapons, but just, you know, can predators fly over the North Pole? Is that possible? Can Hellfire arm predators? Is that, you know, could that be done? Could we literally thin Santa's reindeer herd and just make him, you know, eventually? I mean, signature strikes. You don't need to know that much about a reindeer. If the reindeer's in the air, you don't need to know who exactly it is, whether Dasher or Blitz it. It's an enemy.
Right, right. And we are already, I mean, we've already gotten to the point where we hear about drone strikes on weddings and there's not much terrible outcry. Mm-hmm. Accidental reindeer deaths, if they're just portrayed as, oh, yes, a hunting accident, then that would be fine. Right. Generally, that would be sellable to the public. You could. The trick is that the drones we use for signature strikes fly where the weather is relatively awful. Mm-hmm. But I believe, I need to double check whether or not Global Hawks could be armed, but they fly high enough that they could probably drop down. Mm-hmm. That they could probably drop from on high. We could do it. We could use signature strikes on the reindeer herd. We could probably even use it with human sourced from the Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. And you know what? I mean, when I'm hearing you here, you know, sort of about these, you know, modifications to older drones, perhaps even the development of newer drones, it honestly sounds like Christmas for Lockheed Martin to me, right? Christmas for Lockheed Martin, Christmas for Northrop Grumman, right? For, you know, all of the people who could come up with newer and more effective drones, all-weather drones, all-weather, cold-weather, capable drones that could fly over the Arctic and that could defeat America's enemies before America's enemies show up.
I mean, absolutely. As I said earlier, it would be a Cold War, and the Cold War was nothing if not 45 nonstop years of Christmas for defense contractors.
Right, right. And you know, if there's one lesson we can take away from this, it's that two lessons. First, we need to crush America's joy, except for defense contractors, and that this war on Christmas, which has to be, I think we've developed here as a sort of an overarching national security approach, right? Identification, domestic strategy, international strategy, negotiation, diplomatic strategy with the Russians and the Canadians, kinetic strategy with drones and nuclear weapons. This overarching strategy here, which sort of ruins Christmas for most Americans, but makes the defense contractors happy, is really the only way to go. And I would also like to point out my Northrop Grumman poster right here, which I got for no particularly good reason, but, you know, it looks cool, doesn't it? And also, Lockheed Martin wants to send me a check or wants to send you a check, that would also be welcome, right? I would, you know, listen.
Clearly, I mean,
if they want to send me a check by drone, that would be fine.
You could probably, two of those Amazon drones could probably carry one of those, like, comically large checks.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It absolutely do it. Absolutely do it. It could even be shaped like the deck of an aircraft carrier.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's hilarious.
For sheer novelty value. But you mentioned that there will be a narrow segment who thrives in this environment and really comes out on top. And that reminds me of the other often neglected World War, which is much like in World War Z, where the vast majority of the world had to be sacrificed while militarized enclaves defended and then built out to reclaim it. Much the World War Santa would be the same.
Right, right. Sacrifices have to be made. And if it's just children's joy rather than people turned into zombies, really, I'll take that trait. Right.
It's a much happier war.
Right, exactly. All right, well, I mean, I think we have worked through the major strategic issues here and even some of the tactical and operational issues. You know, the part of the point of this is selling this to Washington and also eventually to Moscow and Ottawa and the other relevant actors. But, you know, you have to start somewhere. You have to, with an outlandish concept, you have to start in one place, especially when you got to drag people to understand the national security threat posed by this chubby man from the north who delivers stuff to all of our houses.
Well, and if anyone can sell it, it would be the same people who convinced three major parts of the American armed forces that they needed the same plane, but built three different ways.
Right, right. Built three different ways and, you know, quadruple the price. That's exactly, yeah.
That's the minds we need. That's the team we need to really convince America of the threat that Santa poses and to then lead the charge to capture or eradicate his rule.
All right. Well, sir, next year in the North Pole.
In the North.
All right. See you later, Kelsey.
See ya.